I just love that. Take your passion and make it happen. I think that is the coolest thing. And I keep meaning to change the music, but I just love that line so much.
Keep it.
What'd you say?
Keep it.
I'll keep it. That was Rebecca, by the way. My name is Sienna Gold, and this is Down to Earth. We're on every once a month. We were not on last month. We were preempted by Martin Luther King's birthday. And I opted to not find a replacement date. I really needed a break. But it's really good to be back here today. So as I said, we've got Rebecca here and Rebecca's friend, Allie. And we have Pam on the phone. Can she hear us? Yes. Pamela.
Hello.
Hi, Pam.
I'm right here.
Okay, Pam is snowed in. Out in the hinterlands, she's been snowed in for 3 weeks. So we got her, we have her in on the phone, and we have the mystery engineer here.
Which would like to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the speaker only, not necessarily those of staff, KMR board, or volunteers, or contributors. Also, Foothill Flowers and the Johnson family, celebrating 50 years of providing a wide variety of flowers and supporting Nevada County's nonprofits in our community, with flower arrangements. They're located on Main and Auburn in downtown Grass Valley, foothillflowers.com. Back to you, Sienna.
Oh, hi. It's back to me. I'm over here cutting the fool. all right. Just so it's really, really good to be back here. It's been like 2 months now.
Yeah.
And you haven't been here
in like three or four months.
Yes, yeah, you're really busy. Well, the holidays.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I'm all charged up. I'm really excited. I had planned to do a show today on, well, when we got Rebecca back, on religion. But there's something I want to cover first, and hopefully we'll catch that the next. We'll get to that one in, on our next show. I want to talk about judgment and criticism.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal in our lives. It's very difficult. We don't really get to think for ourselves. We're very often very controlled, and if you step outside the lines or color outside the lines, then you get criticized, which means at the end of the day that if you don't conform, you are not okay. And I think that leads to a lot of emotional problems for people. I think it makes it really difficult to live. I think it's kind of scary emotionally to not know what the wrong thing or the right thing is to say. So I just wanted to talk about that a little bit. You know, I think that not being able to express yourself the way that you want to express yourself, getting into trouble, causes you to go into some pretty deep self-doubt. And you wind up, second-guessing yourself and then not feeling very good about yourself. And for some reason, the phone is ringing. Anyway, what do you think about that?
Who, you want
Rebecca.
Me first?
Anybody who wants
Rebecca.
To talk?
Let Rebecca go ahead.
Sure. It's very relevant, you know, for me for many years. I'm trying to come out of being in that spiral of self-criticism and judgment.
Hmm.
And it does kind of come from a want to conform for many years, you know, to a belief system, my family's belief system and what they believe is successful, what they believe is proper and right, you know, behavior. And even into, you know, I know we're not talking about religion, but, you know, even with where I came from and my, you know, in my Christian family and in that community, you know, there's, you know, a lot of, you know, judgment and criticism from the outside. And then, you know, I cultivated that, you know, from the inside and just being afraid to express what was going on internally.
Yeah.
Especially if it was opposite of what was accepted as right and true.
Mm.
And so when I did do that, when I did express myself and my views and what I thought, oftentimes it was met with that pushback. And I internalized it and thought, oh, okay, well then I must be wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I must be bad to even think this.
Right.
You know, or I must be evil. And so I would, you know, judge myself. And then, you know, even sometimes, you know, looking out into the community and people around me,
yeah.
You know, especially, you know, I love this community. Mm. I've grown to love this community, you know, but coming from Baltimore and it's completely different, you know, from here. It's completely different when it comes to how families are dynamics. It's completely different, you know, on a social scene. And so, you know, when I first moved here, there was, I have to be honest, there was a lot of judgment coming out of my own mind. You know, I was just like, and forgive me for saying, I hope no one's offended, but sometimes I'd be like, you know, when someone would do something that I just thought that was like ridiculous, or, you know, I would put a racial spin on it, like, oh, dear white people, please don't say that. white people, they do that, it was a judgmental thing, you know, it
on
was
your part,
you're... on my part, yeah, yeah, on my part,
yeah,
you know, and not, you know, and not accepting people just for where they are,
yeah,
and not really reaching out even to understand.
Well, let me just say that first of all, what you said basically was that when people judged you in the past, what you've done is kind of crumble under their judgment, mm-hmm. and then taking it on yourself. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't crumble. Just FYI, folks. I'm not a crumbling kind of a gal. I used to. And, you know, I've gone through that in my life where, I feel like crying, where I felt like I wasn't allowed to say what it was that I believed. But you know what? I say what I believe. And at this point in my life, I know myself really well. I know who I am. I know how to express myself in a way that hopefully doesn't offend people. But generally, if it does offend somebody, I've kind of learned that it's on them. If I say something that, you know, makes you upset, I always really suggest that you take a look at yourself. Mm. I'm very careful about my expressions. I will always say, you know, I'm a reverend and I do kind of push things. Well, I push on purpose because I think we're tight. And I think that tightness is what causes a lot of problems. And people run around to try to figure things out. And, you know, they're trying this method and that thing and this tool and all this kind of stuff. When at the end of the day, what you needed to be able to do is express yourself without people telling you that you're wrong about what it is that you said or how it is that you feel. Pam, do you have anything to say?
I do.
I know you do.
Yes. You know, I try really hard, and it is hard not to judge people because we have to be who we are. But what I want to say is when I was a child, I always knew I was different. And I didn't know why, but I was always could never fit in with what was going on around me. When I became out of high school, I became a hippie. And I'm not ashamed of that. I moved to San Francisco and I did all the hippie things. But my family never accepted it. If I came home, I was told that I couldn't wear the clothes I was wearing or listen to the music I wanted to listen to because that wasn't how they wanted me to be. So, you know, I understand what everybody is saying. It is hard to have people to be different, to want to be yourself, and everybody's different. Don't get me wrong. I'm not just saying it's me, but you got to be able to be yourself. And there's a whole thing out there of people who don't want you to be that.
They don't want you
to express who you... What's that?
Oh, we have a delay. Darn it, Pam. Yeah, do you have your radio on?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we had a delay, so I am sorry I spoke over you. But yes,
That's okay.
There are a lot of people, and this is the point of the show today, is to kind of say, hey, you know, we get to say what we want to say. And so people will say, well, what if you're hurting other people by expressing your opinions or your views? What if What if what you say causes people to have a negative reaction? And I also say you are who it is that you are. You know, you get to be yourself. And if for some reason you get into a difficult emotional situation, it's about going and finding some help. And you know what I mean? It's you. But even if you do look for help, you get criticized. You stand the chance of being criticized for thinking or saying or doing something that other people don't approve of. If you want to call and talk about this topic, the number here is 530-265-9555. 530-265-9555. We're talking about judgment and criticism today, though you can absolutely talk about anything you want. My name is Sienna Gold, and the show is called Down to Earth. Do you have anything to say?
Sure.
This is Allie.
Well, it's interesting. I just emerged from a 30-day silent meditation program, and it's amazing how much we judge ourselves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's truly amazing. When you really sit there for 5 to 7 to 8 hours a day, really just with yourself, it's like you're having a really long tea date with yourself. And it's amazing how judgmental we are of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so it's no wonder that we judge other people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I used to be a very judgmental and critical person. It's funny, this is down to earth. I'm an earth sign, so I'm a Capricorn. And then one of the nature of Capricorn can often be very kind of critical and judgmental. And I realized that as much as I judged other people or was critical of others, it was mostly myself that I was judgmental and critical of. Mm-hmm. And as I've really learned to sit with myself, and ironically, you mentioned the word tight. Mm-hmm. You know, I had so much tension in my body, so much holding of, you know, the fears of other people's reactions, because I knew what I knew I was judging, so therefore they must be judging me, right? And so there's just all this tension and this holding. But as I was really sitting with myself, really getting to relax both physically and mentally and really deconstructing those judgments and those criticisms, yeah, and realizing I just wanted to be loved.
Let me hop. That's a really good point, but I want to hop in here quickly.
Sure, yeah.
Give your judgment a break. Give your judgment and your tightness and your criticism a break. I'm not saying that it's not okay to have those things, because we do have them. What I'm saying is to start kind of paying attention to how they're impacting everybody. How it's impacting you is what is Allie is talking about, and how it impacts the people around you. You get to be judgmental. I'm not saying I'm not judgmental, because I am. I am. I'm judgmental. I grew up that way. You know, I've got that kind of influence in my life. Mm-hmm. And but my judgment has, you know, it's got a little place there. She's got her little throne inside of me. And I look more at people. The more objective side of me is more expressive in my life than my judgment part, but she's totally there. So if you can learn that being yourself does not mean that to do everything properly or well or do only good things is the way to be. I don't see that at all. I think that all parts of you get a place in your life. That's the point that I'm making, is that you are who you are. If you're judgmental, you're judgmental. If you're racist, you're racist. If you're angry, you're angry. If you're tight, you're tight. And what we do is we judge those things to be bad, and then we go about trying to fix them and get rid of them or heal them. And, you know, my whole thing is that we don't need healing. You know, I've got that kind of off-center look at life that says we're in these bodies on a planet that's not solid. I'm sorry, but it's true. Check out some quantum physics. And so we are not, what we believe is happening is not, very possibly not really happening. So if you can learn to stay open and give yourself a break for who it is that you are, and try to pay attention to what's happening in your life on a day-to-day basis, that's what will help you to shift the things that happen to you. Does anybody have anything to say?
I'd like to comment on something that you said earlier about believing that if you offend somebody or somebody becomes offended, we don't offend it. I totally agree with you that it's on them, that it's not on us, because if we're being who we are, that's just who we are. And it's, like you said, it's on them if they become offended or hurt or whatever to figure out why being yourself has hurt them. It's on them. I wanted to comment on
that. I can't tell you how many times people have said to me, oh my goodness, you are so honest, and it's so refreshing. I hear that all the time because I'm super honest. You know, I really am.
Right.
And that's not what people normally do. They tiptoe around, we're not supposed to talk about this, and we're not supposed to talk about that because people are going to get upset and people are going to get hurt. Well, if you get upset and you're hurt, that's probably, well, I think that's a positive thing for you, actually, or a beneficial thing if you do get upset or hurt, because then you get to take a look at something that is hidden in there inside of you that doesn't get expression because it's the wrong thing to say or to do. And if you allow yourself to be yourself and allow yourself to feel what you feel, you know how I look at things, that's what shifts things. You know, we've been in boxes for a long time, and shoulds, S-H-O-U-L-D, S-H-O-U-L-D-E-R-S, that's the tightest part of everybody's bodies, your shoulders. Everybody holds their tension there because of exactly what it is that we're talking about right now. You think?
Yeah.
Definitely. I think also, you know, the root of a lot of these things is just fear, and the comments that are, you know, made, you know, sometimes break open that fear, and then, you know, it doesn't even matter if the person meant to offend or even say a judgmental thing, it will trigger, you know, people. And I completely agree when you say that, you know, being aware of how we react to what someone says is an important part of being able to shift things, you know, being aware of some underlying fears that we weren't, you know, aware of before, you know, because I think it really is fear that, you know, kind of holds us in the same place or in the same patterns, you know, from past trauma, what we were talking about earlier,
right?
You know, these past conditionings,
right.
You know, which I'm trying to break myself out of, you know, but it, you know, I know it takes time. But, you know, there is that judgment, and I think it comes from that, you know, just those fears. And I wonder, this is kind of a question, you know, like, where, when does that kind of begin, you know, because we...
Like, when do we start?
Is that learned? Is that a learned thing, you know, to judge? Or is that just kind of like a part of how we naturally process what's going on around us? You
right.
know, like, what is that?
You know, anybody have something to say?
Well, I think that judgment, in a way, is just us trying to make ourselves feel better. If we judge someone else who's doing something different, we can make ourselves feel a little better by doing that. I think that's why a lot of people do it, is fear, like you said, is that they're afraid to admit that this other person is doing something different and it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that...
Say that again, Pam, because I found something that I was thinking of reading and I was just going over it while you were talking. What did you just say?
I said that I think that when people are judgmental, it's a way of making themselves feel better.
Yeah.
That was it, basically, is that when we judge another, it gives us some kind of power over ourselves, maybe, over our fears.
Like when we judge other people, gives and power over each other. That's the
right.
other thing.
right.
power over each other by judging each other. It just amazes me, the systems that we have in place where you can be walking along and you've got the wrong outfit on, or you're at the wrong quote place at the wrong time, wind up in trouble, wind up in jail for nothing, and people are given permission to put you in jail, whether you deserve to be there or not, because of all these rules and regulations. And then you've got to go through more rules and regulations to get out. I just keep seeing a picture of the Lilliputians. And I was just talking to somebody about that. You know, they don't know what the heck is going on. Do you guys know it's the story of Gulliver's Travels?
Yeah.
And I had somebody new come into my life recently who really reminded me of Gulliver dealing with the Lilliputians. The Lilliputians are these little people, and this giant washes up on their beach, and they're like, "Oh my God, oh my God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?" So they go around and they tack him down. You know, they've got hundreds of them, and they're tacking down Gulliver. This is not okay. We got to constrain the giant. And that is really kind of how I view all of us, is that the other humans are constraining us as giants. So we forget who it is that we are. We forget. Oh, gosh, I can just burst into tears. Mm-hmm. We forget who we are and forget how to express and forget how to be free and safe within yourself and safe with other people, where we are not allowed to express ourselves. We will get into trouble. There are things I can't say on the radio that I would absolutely say, you know, because I have kind of a big mouth, but I'm not allowed to say them. You know, I'm not allowed to say it because the rules and the rules and regulations. I'm sorry.
We're shrinking ourselves to be a Lilliputian.
We're not. We're huge. We are really magnificent, and life is awesome. And I can't believe every day I open my eyes and I'm like, holy mackerel, I just love being alive. I just am happy. I'm happy. And I don't hold stuff. You know, I don't hold grudges. And it's not that it's not there. It's that it has a place to live, and I make it okay that I have it. I don't know quite how to explain.
I was just thinking about another point too, that at some point there does have to be some responsibility, you know, though, right? When it comes to when we're speaking or we're making statements about something, and being aware that that actually may be a trigger for somebody,
right?
You know, like being able to take that responsibility and say, okay, well, maybe this won't actually be helpful to say, because that might trigger that person, and that person may not be at a place that they can be aware.
And I think that's a really, really, really good point. But at the end of the day, it is that person's inability to handle what it is that you had to say, which means that person has something to look at. Whether it's the right time for that person to look at, you know, in their lives, maybe, as you're saying, they're unable to take a look at it for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have the strength. They don't have the awareness to take a look at it. But generally, I mean, with what it is that I do, when triggering happens, that to me is like an opportunity. When something happens in my life or in the lives of people with whom I deal with, mm-hmm. which is, you know, I'm trying to be grammatically correct and failing miserably. But when I feel something that doesn't feel, quote, good, unquote, to me, that to me is an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I do have a hard time kind of walking on eggshells because I'm just really outspoken. Mm-hmm. And I know what it feels like to be real. Mm-hmm. And so when I personally have something that comes into my life that causes me some kind of pain, I'm like, holy mackerel, this is great, you know. Somebody else going through that would point their finger at me and say I've done something bad to them and that I'm wrong and I'm bad and I shouldn't have done that and it caused them to do X, Y, and Z. You know, I understand what it is that you're saying and I understand that sensitivity. Mm-hmm. And this is actually what prompted me to do the show today was that sensitivity mm-hmm. that people have. Well, you can't say that because that might happen. You can't say this because that might happen yeah. to this person or that person. And my contention is that if we were allowed to speak and be ourselves in the mm-hmm. first place, we wouldn't be being triggered that way. We would have the kind of life that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. Which is like, I love being alive. I feel really lucky. And yeah, go ahead.
So then how do you think we can teach our kids then? Because it starts there, right?
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Young enough to be able to express our thoughts and feelings, you know, like how do you, I don't have children.
Right.
You know, but I have nephews. Right. And that actually is a fear of mine that they wouldn't be able to express. Like my youngest nephew, he is a genius with art. Like I just already mm-hmm. 6 years old, genius with art. But you know, his mother and his father, they're both like real deep in the church. And I'm just like wondering if they're really, you know, going to allow him. Because I asked him, like, well, what do you want to be? What are you going to do? He's like, I want to be a preacher. I'm like, that's great. That's great. And, you know, which isn't terrible, but I know he wants to emulate his father, who's a preacher, too. But I'm like, I really hope that they cultivate this expressive side of him, you know, like, so that he feels like growing up, he can express himself, you know, in a way that may not, you know, conform. But it's like, so how do you, you know, teach, like, you know, your children, you know, how to express themselves, you know, in a safe way as well. You
right.
Because I'm not gonna lie, I see some kids coming through the patch. I work at the Briar Patch, by the way. And they're expressing themselves. In my mind, I'm like, okay, somebody needs to help that child out. You know, and, you know, it's like, you can express yourself, but like, how do you help the child to like express themselves in a way that is safe? You know, I don't know. Am I making any sense?
You're here? Making you're perfect make, sense.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're making perfect okay. Good. Sense.
Did you
I would like that perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to speak to that for a moment. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that a lot of the root of judgment and criticism is this, we want love. We want to be loved. We want to be accepted. Mm-hmm. And we're afraid. You talked about the fear. We're mm-hmm. fear. We're afraid of not being loved. And so we allow ourselves to get conformed and put into these judgments. And so I wonder if we're able to teach our children to express themselves, but with the lens of love. Mm-hmm. Because I'm also a pretty honest person, and I used to get quite a bit of criticism that I was too blunt or harsh. And I used to feel frustrated, be like, wow, people want me to sugarcoat it for them. I'm just trying to give them the truth because I respect them. Mm-hmm. And I realized that when I could speak my truth and express my authenticity, but being held with love, mm-hmm. that seemed to really like help it, like take those harder truths that need to be spoken.
What's love mean?
Well, I think love is, there's a kindness, there's holding the truth, and there's respect, and there's compassion. I think maybe what I mean is that love is compassion. So you can speak those hard truths, mm-hmm. and it doesn't mean you have to sugarcoat it and not give it to them straight, but I think you can temper even the hardest truths with a little compassion, even if it's raunchy, even if it's hard to take. I don't know.
Sounds like we have a caller coming. Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, you're on the air, I think. Yes. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, I was actually calling about donating some money, and oh. I was calling I was also calling. Are you still having the fun drive?
Oh, dear. This is the...
I'm sorry.
Hold on.
No worries. I'll briefly answer that. Our fun drive actually ended on Saturday night, but you can donate securely online at kpmr.org if you would like to make a contribution.
Awesome.
Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, we're glad to have you.
Have a beautiful day. It's just gorgeous outside.
Isn't it wonderful out?
Yeah. It's really nice.
Thank you so much for the call. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
So I have a quick kind of comment on what Ali was saying. It actually reminded me of a scripture that said, speak the truth in love. And that's where the wisdom of the scriptures, I believe, comes through in instances like that, is that it is true. We can speak. It is encouraged to speak the truth, but tempering it, with in a loving manner. I'm glad you asked what love is. That was a great question, because I think we can try to kind of just use that word,
Right, kind of randomly.
I believe that with compassion and an understanding, I think love to me means connection, like anything that binds together that, that could just be in any sense, two magnets that bind together, you can say love. But I think that, if it brings a connection for that person, like connecting what's going on, with their feelings and emotions and being able to, speaking that truth and being able to connect to that person. Now, that doesn't mean that a person's going to get it anyway, you can speak the love all you want and it's, sweet and kind and, compassionate as you can. But that doesn't mean that the person is going to be like even in that space to be able to hear and to be able to listen, you just don't know. But I think the point is still speaking the truth, whether it's, kind of just like just honest and blatant, with a spoonful of sugar.
Right.
Mary Poppins just popped in my head. Sorry, guys. But, I think that that is a good point, especially with children who just aren't aware as we are. Speaking the truth in love and helping them to understand to do that, I think, is important.
Well, you had asked about how do you get through to children. And my sense is that the strongest way to get through to children is through their parents. And if you can talk about what it is that you're talking about in the way that Ali suggested, with some compassion, you might be able to get through and have them be able to get through to the kids.
Yeah.
Is there a call? No. Okay. Pam, do you have anything to say?
I do. I think that I was sitting here listening. It's just really great. There's another element of love. It is compassion, it's kindness, it's understanding, it's honesty, it's all of those positive things. But to me, love is also a sign of freedom. And this freedom means to me that it's free to express it in whatever way it comes to us to do that. And I think that a lot of people feel that love has to be a certain way, parents do. I did have a child, and she's almost 36 years old now. But I think that love you have to be free in whatever you say. You can't hold back and say, I can't say this because somebody might not think it's the right thing to do. You have to follow your heart, and that means it gives you a freedom to be able to love. I have one other thing I want to say, and this just popped into my head since people are actually, Rebecca and everything, quoting scriptures. I'm not a real Bible person, but I do know a few, and the one in this whole show is about is judge not lest you be judged also. And I think that what we do when we judge is we open that door for people to judge us back. So I think we need to be careful for ourselves and not be judgmental because maybe we don't like being judged either.
Or take a look at your judgmental part with some honesty in your eyes and allow it
Right.
So that you can see the root of the judgment and make room for that. That's how things will shift. We've got a couple of phone calls waiting.
Okay,
you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. Hi, how are you? I just called a second ago, and it was before I knew what you were talking about. But, you know, Valentine's Day has just passed. And to me, you know, I'm not really a religious person either, but there's a lot of deities out there that, you know, put love out there. And I think life itself is love, and love is life. And Valentine's Day, giving flowers, is just that. It comes in many colors, different nationalities. And you don't really have to express it with words, but you can do it with kindness. And this kindness spreads. You do one kindness to one person, that person takes it and says, wow, that's really lovely. And they pass it on to somebody else. But really, you know, if you are a religious person, God gave up his only son because he loved the world so much. That we could all be forgiven.
I don't want to disturb you, but this is not a religious program. So,
yeah,
you know.
I know.
Yeah,
I
but
know.
Thank you so
anyway,
much.
Have a great day.
Thank you so much. You take care. Thanks for your call. Hi, you're on the air. Oops, you're almost on the air. There you are. Hi.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Okay. So, I lost my daughter about 16 years ago. She died at the age of 26. And, you know, I heard a statement the other day that grief is love with nowhere to go, and it made me think of you. And so I still really struggle with it, and I'm just wondering if it'll get better.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, boy. You know, I've lost four little babies. To me, they're babies. So I totally understand the depth of grief. And as a matter of fact, Pam and I were talking about that today. Pam.
Yes.
Pam has just gone through this. Why don't you, do you have anything to say to this lady?
I really like the comment that you made, that grief is love with nowhere to go. Because I think one of the things that I have felt, my husband died a year and a half ago, and one of the things that I have felt in this year and a half is an emptiness. And that made sense to me, what you said, that, but at the same time, what I am learning through all of this, and Sienna can help with this one too, is I'm learning who I am. Always before, I was the couple. I was his wife. I was his best friend. I was his, you know, all of these things. But now I'm realizing there's more to me. And although I have days like this morning, I called Sienna because I was having a total meltdown. But at the same time, I realized through all of that, that there's more to me. And there's more to my world and my life, and the love that I felt for my husband, the same as you for your daughter, that will never change. But we can take that love and we can bring it back to who we are. I have been told more than once that the truth is we need to love ourselves and we need to make ourselves feel that we are worthy, and that we are worthy of this self-love. And so what I will say to you is don't worry, because we're going to have these feelings. Man, I exploded in Sienna's ear this morning. But it's okay, because after I got it all off my chest, I felt better. And I think that what I can say to you is be you. Be that beautiful person that you are.
That she doesn't
love yourself for it.
And that's something that she's not aware of. So, Pam, let me hop in here. And that was wonderful what you said. Thank you so much.
Okay,
you're welcome. And we did have a nice long talk this morning about the death of her husband. Now, what I was saying to you, ma'am, is that I lost they were children to me, two dogs and two birds. I, over the last 16 years, I was mom, big time. And you know, that's just the consummate mom. They, cooking for them, are all organic and herbs and acupuncture and beds, dog beds everywhere. And my car was a dog car. It was just, and the bird had free flight. She was never in a cage, and she had a massive cage that she could go to. So these were 100% children to me, and I had an easier time actually interacting with them than I have had with anybody in my life, to tell you the truth. The last one died July 13th, and I found myself outside watering my lawn every day. And I remembered being out there watering and doing, I mean, I watered the lawn, but I was out there every single day, you know, and I'm looking at the lawn and I'm doing a little this and doing a little that. And it dawned on me that all that love that I had been giving to them, you know, with their food and walking and taking care of them, I didn't have anywhere to put it. I had nowhere to go with it. So I was giving it to the lawn. You know, what has happened since then for me is a lot of what Pam is talking about. I am still in grief. I talk to the last dog every single day. I talk to him and take a look at his picture every day. You know, I really miss all four of them. But whoa, am I free? I haven't been free like this and longer than I can possibly remember. I don't even remember how long it's been. I'm in the gym three times a week. I'm eating, you know, great. I found wonderful food. Life is just coming together dramatically. I'm able to take care of myself, which I think goes along with this love that Pam is talking about and what Allie was mentioning, that it's not something at the end of the day really that you can force. My sense is that you go through, we seem to learn through difficulty on this planet. I'm not saying that it has to be that way, but it just seems that that's the way that things go. And little by little, as you allow yourself to just live your life, put one foot in front of the other, the thing that really hit me today, I think it was, or in the last couple of days, which I mentioned to Pam this morning, is that because I every day I'm like, why did he have to go, my last dog? Why is this world set up like this? This is the grief is just more than I can stand. And I just got a picture of him and his body gave out.
No,
the end.
I'm so hurt. I understand.
The body gave out. The other thing that I want to say to you is, and I've said this on the air a few times, I am in deep grief about them, the same kind of grief that you're experiencing. But, ma'am, I know I'm an odd duck. I am. And in my with what it is that I do, I have people who don't have bodies come and talk to me all the time about the people that I'm talking to. The room will go all cold, or I feel a cold going through my mouth, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, I say, well, blah 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 blah, and they look. People are looking at me and say, how do you know that? You know, and I'd say, well, do you have a grandfather or dad or mom that passed? And they're like, yes, it was my grandfather, and we called him Bubba. And I'm, you know, I'll say, what? Well, who's Bubba? And they'll go, oh my gosh, that's what they called him. We called him Bubba, you know, whatever, just giving you like a random example. But this is true. This happens to me all the time. And even with that information, even with knowing that I am able to interact with people who don't have bodies anymore, I know that there's something else going on out there that I cannot explain. None of us can really explain it. Yet I'm grieving for the loss of my dog, who is sitting right next to me. He just doesn't have a body anymore. But I can't fathom that. I don't know how it works. It's a very strange world, which is my message with every single one of these shows. This world, the way that life works, the way that Earth works, doesn't have anything to do with what we are taught. Not, and from my personal experience It doesn't have anything to do with what we're taught. Going back to the whole idea of judgment and criticism for how you think and how you feel about things, those are taught behaviors. For some reason, we've gotten rules and regulations in our heads that we're supposed to do this and we have to do that, or this one is going to be offended, or that's going to go wrong. But it doesn't, I don't think any of that is it really true. But, you know, that's kind of getting off the subject of your daughter. Go ahead, ma'am. What did you say?
I said, I don't really mind too much what people say. I'm strong in myself. I've continued to work as a hospice nurse for 15 years. I'm now an ER and a homeless person nurse. And, you know, I get the logistics of it.
Right.
I had a three-year-old tell me, Grammy's not dead. She's just invisible, when I was a hospice nurse.
Right.
And I get it. I really do get it. But I just can't get over the sadness.
Well, then don't get over the sadness. Take that. Let that sadness take you to some difficult times in your life, so that part can get expressed and shift the way your life works. Use it. That's what I did. I used my grief. I didn't know I was doing it. I was grieving over my dog. All of a sudden, the two dogs and the two birds, without form, were at the edge of my bed, and they're talking to me and thanking me for the life that we had together. And I'm sobbing with this grief, and then this gratitude washed over me, and that went through my system. And then the grief at them being gone took me down. It grabbed me. I was hurting so much that I remembered some stuff that happened with my dad. And what I remembered was I was back in the situation where I was being abused. And I remembered grieving the loss of my father that I loved so much. I was six. I remembered at that minute when that grief took me back to that pain of losing my dad, who I trusted. I realized I lost that dad. That dad's gone. And that grief, yikes. Hang on.
Yikes.
Yeah. It was massive. Huh?
I use it in my work, you know. It gives me empathy for others, and I do use it, I think, in a positive manner.
Ouch. My head is hurting.
That I can do, you know.
Yeah, but I just heard the word indulgence around you. And I think that I understand that you're using it in your work. I think I do. It feels like there's something a little bit off with the way that you handle. And the words that I'm getting exactly are that you come last. So
I always have come last. That's true.
Yeah, I would go there.
Story.
Yeah, as I thought. We have just another few minutes. I'm going to take another phone call. Are you okay? Is it okay if we stop now?
I'm okay, thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for calling.
I'm sorry for your loss.
I'm sorry for yours too. But she's probably anyway. I'm sorry for yours.
Thanks.
All righty. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hi, I think you're on the air. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Yeah. I just had a comment for the gal that was grieving about her daughter. It made me cry now. I lost my son 30 years ago, and I just wanted to let her know that he drowned anyhow. And I just wanted to let her know that it never goes away. It just gets easier, you know, and less frequent. And it's just part of life, and for her to... You know, the thing that I always thought that we're not grieving for the person, we're grieving for ourselves because we miss them. And so, anyhow, yeah. I just want to know that that's frequent.
Oh, that's really, really sweet of you to call. Thank you so much.
And the dog thing, my dog died 2 years ago. And everybody says, oh, you got to get another dog. You got to get another dog. And I look at him and I go, you know what? I'm going to come pet your dog. I'm so free right now. I don't have any responsibilities. I don't have a dog to take care of or to worry about where he's at or what he's doing or if he's not with me. So I just the dog thing. I go visit people with dogs.
Yeah, I love them so much, but oh my goodness, the freedom. I didn't. I oh my goodness, the freedom. It's just it's yes. shocking. I had no idea. Gosh, we've got calls coming in all over the place. Thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome, Emily.
Thanks, you too. You take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Are they on? No. Woo.
Yeah.
You bet. I'll put you on hold. 1 second, okay?
Is that a person? Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I was just listening to your show. Very interesting.
Thank
I've
you.
Had a few family members pass on over the years. I'm 65 now, but the lady that was talking about she can't get over the sadness, it's very understandable, but you don't get over it. You kind of it gets pushed back a little bit, and the sadness turns to smiles, and the smiles will turn to laughter because over time you'll think about the good stuff instead of the bad.
Well, thank you so much for your comments. That's very sweet. Thank
okay,
you.
That's,
all righty.
Okay.
Take care. Yeah, bye. You know the. Bye bye. I noticed that I think less about my bird. I think less about my bigger dog who died 4 years ago. I lost the big dog in 2014, the bird 2016, and then this last one 2018. And the first bird flew in 2007, and I don't. When they first left, it was really horrible, and I didn't think I was ever going to get over it. But it does shift, like Pam was saying. Gosh, how time flies!
Mm-hmm. Oh my!
Wow. Well, this was a really invigorating show. Oh my gosh! I want to thank everybody. My name is Sienna Gold. Thank you all for listening. If you want to get hold of me, I'm at 530-477-8008. You can go to kvmr.org and find my contact details. I want to thank Rebecca for being here, Allie, who's Rebecca's friend, and the inimitable Pam, who is with us by telephone, snowed in the hinterlands. Rebecca and Pam and I normally do the show. Allie was gracious enough to join us today. And the mystery engineer.
We would like to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the speaker only, not necessarily those of KVMR board, staff, volunteers, or contributors. Sierra Timberline also celebrating 40 years offering domestically sourced, eco-friendly furniture, energy-efficient hot tubs, cost-efficient fireplaces, and stoves. They're open daily in the Home Center, Idaho, Maryland Road, Grass Valley. SierraTimberline.com.
Hi, guys. One more thing. That was a false out. We're going to be back on the third Monday in March. I'm on every third Monday of the month at 12:06 after the BBC News. And I just wanted to thank everybody for listening. My name again is Sienna Gold, and see you in a month. Take care.